Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, here we go. Morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Morning, Mark Schlereth.
Well, good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How was your weekend?
Oh, gosh. It was Fat Guy Olympics.
Fat
Guy, went to Houston, went and saw the godfather of my kids, Mark Addicks, who was my roommate in Washington, and we are, I'm the godfather to his, godparents, vice versa, to his five, and he is to my three. And so anyhow, he's a wonderful man. He's a doctor. He's an orthopedic surgeon. He's a lot smarter than me. So he went 10 years of professional football, then went back undergrad to pre-med, and then went to Harvard Med School, then spent 5 years at the Mayo Clinic, where he worked at the Stedman Hawkins Clinic. Yeah, and then now he's a big-time orthopedic surgeon in Houston.
Oh, so the Godfathers got together this weekend.
Yes, exactly. The Godfathers got together this weekend. And
meeting of the families, huh?
Yes, yeah, the two families got together. We played. Right now I literally have dart and cornhole elbow.
Oh, really?
I need ice down. Yeah. It was a tremendous battle royale. I'd like to say if I was writing a book, the title of the book would be I'm Good at Everything. Cause like it doesn't matter what word cards you want to play, darts, what do you want to play? I'm good at it all. He's the only guy that consistently has gone toe to toe with me in these type of things. I mean, it was a battle royale.
Oh, so you get a little bit of dart elbow.
I got dart elbow.
Maybe this will be the 30th surgery.
No.
Don't ever take sides with anyone against the family.
It's going to calm down. It's going to calm. So we just had a blast celebrating his birthday. It was a big surprise. He didn't know we were there.
Awesome.
So when he came home from work, performing surgeries there, my wife and I were to greet him and take him out to just an unbelievable weekend of dinners.
So you ate well too.
Oof. We went to this place called Mastro's.
Oh, Mastro's or Maestro's?
Mastro's. And it's a big steak restaurant. Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Okay.
Delicious.
Delicious.
Yes.
All right. Well, good. Glad everybody is with us this morning. Hope you had a great weekend. We got the week ahead of us. And today's the day. Today's the day the Broncos, I guess they are beginning voluntary off-season workouts because some guys will be there,
mm-hmm.
mainly the guys that have the bonuses in their contracts. Many guys won't be there. There are now 20 teams around the NFL who are boycotting. Some are full boycotts.
Correct.
Some are partial boycotts, where, again, guys with bonuses are going in. Like, for example, the Bills have 28 guys with off-season bonuses for working out. So I bet a bunch of those guys will be
sure.
there. There are teams like the Dolphins that have 13 guys with bonuses, but those guys are choosing to be part of a full-team boycott. Here's my question. You know the dynamic of a locker room. Will this cause any division at all? The idea that, some guys are staying away based on principle. Some guys are staying away because there's not a financial incentive for me to be there. Other guys are like, hey, look, I respect your cause, but I got to get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to cause any issues?
No, I think the Broncos only have like four guys, right, that have workout bonuses. Just digging around this weekend and talking to some people. My understanding, because we got, McManus came out with kind of what they were doing as a players association and all these things. My understanding is the NFL, it wasn't like it snuck up on them, that there were several proposals that were put out to the players association. The players did not respond to those proposals. So there were several opportunities to actually negotiate in good faith. That really didn't happen. My understanding is the overall feel is that players, the Players Association, want to do everything virtually, the entire offseason virtually, which is what you speculated, which we talked about. That's what they want. And I totally get that that's what they want. Obviously, the coaches don't want that. And if you're a team like the Broncos with a young quarterback and a young offense, or you're a team, like if you're 20 of the 32 teams that aren't established, that have a, you know, that are putting in a new offense or having a bunch of new players, you want to be on the field. I keep going back to the Peyton Manning thing when he missed time in the preseason. It would be disrespectful of the game to think I could come right back out here without practice and be great. Like it matters. This whole virtual off-season COVID thing from last year is a little bit Pandora's box, because I think there's a misnomer that, hey, look, football looked really good. We're good. We don't need it. And I think that if you really look deeper than the surface, the lack of development of players, when guys get injured, what happens? Guys that didn't get to practice, guys that don't get to preseason, guys that all of a sudden you have to say, okay, hey, good luck. We're all counting on you. Try not to screw it up. It was like my first day in TV, my very first day in TV. I have no idea, right? I do the meeting. It's the first, I'm going to do it, NFL Live on ESPN, national television show. They say, hey, show up at, we're on live at 7, show up at 6:30, get makeup. All right. They're at 6:30. Get some makeup. You know, I'm the last guy in the chair, so it's already 6:45, 6:50. Hey, you got to roll downstairs, plug in, get on the set, go downstairs to the studio, okay, you're going to sit here, great. Hey, when somebody asks you a question, tease you up with a question, make your comment to camera one. Well, what's camera one? Well, they're right over there. That's camera one. So talking to camera one, okay. And then you got to plug in your IFB and everything. I'll go talk to you. Okay, so sit down, plug in my IFB, bam, producer. Hey, how you feeling? Great. Okay. Everything all right? Yeah, I guess. All right, 10 seconds of live TV. Try not to blink it up. Bam. And you're on. And all of a sudden, you're a rookie that's, you haven't been on the field. You haven't practiced other than whatever you did in training camp. You haven't played a preseason game. You haven't scrimmaged against another team. You haven't done, everything's been virtual. And all of a sudden, hey, you got to block Aaron Donald. Good luck. I'm sorry. It ain't easy. And there is value in it, especially as you're trying, if you're the NFL and you're saying, hey, we're protecting $100 million quarterbacks and we got a bunch of offensive line that have never taken a snap in a game. You don't think that's important? You don't think that there's value to that? Come on. I mean, I get that veterans don't want to do it. I understand that. Hell, I wouldn't want to do it either. But the thing about our league is we negotiate on behalf of guys that don't have a voice because they're not in the league yet. And we screw those guys. Like, you're screwing a younger generation of players, and I don't believe in that. I believe in making those guys and helping those guys become the best players they can be, and you're not helping them. And I think that's wrong as a Players Association.
Well, it is a popular opinion that Drew Lock needs an offseason, needs a full offseason, needs to be able to get as many reps and time in the facility, time with coaches as possible. You had a chance to do an event with Drew last Thursday night, and I want to hear about it. And you'll tell us your impressions of Drew firsthand. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. THMotors.com.
Morning Brew coming up at 6:30. What does this COVID shutdown for the Avalanche mean? Also, James Marillat will join us coming up at 6:45. You had a chance, Mark, on Thursday. Now, you were off on Friday, but Thursday night you did an event.
Yeah.
Virtually.
Yeah.
With Drew Locke.
Yeah. For the great folks over at Body Armor, which was awesome. And it really, just really fun to get to be kind of in that realm again, you know, where you're having some fun, shucking and jiving, asking some questions, and just, you know, really excited about the work that he's putting in this offseason. And so, you know, we can sit here and speculate. We need a new quarterback. And, you and I have talked about, do you think he hears it? Do you think he there's no question he hears it. And, you know, Dalton Risner, very much like Julie McCoy, broke the news. You know, he's the cruise director of the Love Boat.
But I'm glad you explained who Julie McCoy is.
Right.
I'm sure a large part of the audience may not remember Julie McCoy. Very perky.
Oh, very perky.
Two people played Julie McCoy, by the way.
Yeah, you're right.
Two people.
There's a start, and then somebody
took over the role.
Took over the role, exactly. Anywho, the whole thing about Peyton Manning, breaking the news about Peyton Manning and just being able to look at, like, you know how valuable it is, Mike, to watch film with somebody who knows what they're looking at, right? And you can now exchange those ideas and you can pick somebody's brain about how to go through, you know, certain things. And I probably told you this before, but it's kind of the Joe Montana / you know, Steve Young scenario, where when Joe Montana would go through progression, the progressions in the West Coast offense were 1, 2, 3, you know, 1, 4 on the backside, you run through a progression. And it still works that way. But really what has transpired is front side, backside. So when Joe was asked about, like, going through progression, he's like, no, I'm not going to tell you how I do it. Because the point was that Joe got through it so fast, he could always get to the right guy. And they're like, how do you read 1, 2, 3, 4? Like, how do you do it so fast? And finally, he wouldn't tell anybody. And finally, he gave in. He broke the code. And so he said, I just go front side, backside. I don't read the progression, so to speak, like 1, 2. It's almost like reading, like speed ring. Yeah, who is it? Evelyn Woods speed ring course, you know? Where you're just kind of skimming. He's like, I get my pre-snap look. I know what defense they're in. I know what the process is. And then I just confirm it on my drop. Is that what they're in? Yes. If they're in that, I'm going to the backside. I don't even look at the front side because I know it's not as good a matchup. And so nowadays in most everything that you do, there is, you know, a front side, let's call it a front side, high, low, like zone beater, right? And you're putting one person in conflict. And then there's a backside man beater. So if you see on the front side that they're in man, get to the man side. You don't even have to look at the front side. And that's why it's so much more difficult to rush the passer. That's why the ball's out so much quicker in today's game than it was in my time. And Joe is kind of almost the godfather of front side, backside type of reads, to my understanding, just talking to people who would be in the know. And so when you sit down like Drew Locke and you're studying stuff with Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning can eliminate stuff for you, right? Hey, what do you see here? Well, of course they're going to rotate the safety down weak because look how the backers are kicked over. Or of course they're rotating strong because look how the backers are kicked over. What do you see on the, you know, what do you see from a body language from the cornerback? Like you can sit and look at those things and those indicators and have a really good sense of what's what, who's coming, what they're playing. And the way you do that is you study that. This is one of the reasons I have said forever, your aversion as an organization to having a real veteran quarterback that you pay $4 or $5 million to. Even if the guy was no good, he's no good because he's not good. Not because he doesn't know what he sees. You understand the difference? That's why it was valuable and why you would try to groom a Trevor Siemian or you would try to groom a whoever and not have that set of eyes in your... It's inexcusable.
But isn't the offensive coordinator supposed to see all that stuff too? Tell him what to see? Tell him what to eliminate?
Absolutely. But there's value in having a player. We speak the same language. And so it's interesting. Like, one of the reasons that I have been hired to consult for teams is because I speak a language that oftentimes coaches don't speak, but players do. So we can be talking about the same thing, but I can say, hey, listen, here's why I hate that. Because it makes sense on a grease board, but here's why it doesn't work in practicum. Here's why it doesn't work on a field. And you can relate that information. And sometimes, you know what? As a coach, you don't have that information because you never played. You don't have, like, I could sit here and tell you
that Shermer didn't play.
Right. I could sit here and tell you the theory behind, let's say, hey man, I have watched a lot of, law television, right? I watched a lot of courtroom scenes. You can't handle the truth. Like, you know what? But I couldn't prosecute a case. I don't know the intricacies of it. I've seen a lot of it, but I don't know the real intricacies of it. And that's where, and I think this has become more and more important as we try to continue to eliminate practice and eliminate contact out of this game, the nuance of it becomes more and more and more important for coaching staffs. And so, like, you're getting a doctorate degree in nuance when you sit down with Peyton Manning and discuss football.
So, because you talked to Drew, I think, four times during the course of the year last year?
Well,
he only played three.
The first game...
That's right. He was hurt. Right.
So I talked to Jeff Driscoll.
Right.
Second game was New Orleans. I talked to him, but he didn't play.
Right.
Third game was Buffalo.
Yeah.
I talked to him. So I talked to him twice. Out of three Bronco games.
So, just takeaway. Did you notice a difference? A different kind of, I don't know, maturity or, cause that was one of my observations of him last year. I just thought that he was almost blissfully unaware of how people did not like him. People were not happy with him.
Mm-hmm.
They were frustrated with him. They wanted to move on from him. And I was wondering if, you know, the message has gotten through that he's at an NFL career crossroads right now.
No,
and you seem to, you came away from your chat Thursday night feeling like, he's aware.
There is no question he's aware. Now, Are you gonna? Hey, you can do all the work you want to do. You can do every ounce of work, and you can put in all the time and all those different things. The bottom line is, how quickly can you process the information, and can you be on time with the ball? Because if Drew Locke, he's got all the talent anybody could ever have, arm talent wise and athleticism wise. And if he can be on time, he'll be fine. If he's not on time, and that's why he's working. If he's not, he won't.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know,
it's simple. Sounds simple. Not simple, but it sounds simple.
As Gary Kubiak would say, we're fixing to find out.
Question is, will he even be given that opportunity here with the Broncos? Morning Brew is coming your way. Damari Smith, the NFLPA's big boss, admitting what we all suspected all along when it came to these player boycotts. Details next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to clap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Pitch. Blackman takes a strike. Story's running for a second, and it's in time. Mets win. Trevor Story caught stealing to end the game. James McCann firing down to Lindor, who popped the tag down on a diving Story. The out called at second.
ugh, Mets radio. Not the way you want to end a game. Not the way you want to end a weekend, which saw the Rockies drop 2 out of 3. And here's what's really, really frustrating. The Rockies are 3-11, okay? The pitching's been pretty good. I mean, like, really good compared to what we're at 4-12, excuse me, for what we're used to seeing. The pitching's been, there's nothing wrong with the pitching, but they're 4-12.
Well, yeah, I mean, the starting pitching was actually pretty good. So, Mike, I'll give you that. Was not bad whatsoever. So, which was, a good thing. So, you know, you had a couple 7-inning games in there too, Mike. So, because
true,
of the snow out.
True.
So, you didn't have to tax your bullpen as much, which was a good thing. But, you know, we said that this could be a 100-loss season. Ugh. I don't know what they're on pace for right now. Before, is that 2 weeks
of
baseball?
Oh, God, are we going to do the math? We're going to do the math
no,
here.
We can't do math.
We've proven
somebody.
Whatever we've proven over the last 5 years is that we can't do math.
Can somebody on the text line tell us what the projected win total is now
they
after
16 of 162, and they have 4 wins.
All right.
What does that?
Well, wait a minute.
Project to.
So how many times?
Oh no! This is not good. This is not going to work.
Divided by 162. Is equal to. Oh shoot! Wait a minute.
Ah, see. Here we go.
Oh, wait. 162
divided by 16
is equal to. All right. So they're projected right now to win. Like that's. A tenth of the season,
they've won 4 games, so it's 40 wins.
A little over 40 wins.
Yeah. Actually, that wasn't so bad, was it? It
wasn't as hard as you thought.
Look at us!
Yeah, it's 10 point, if I times that by 4, it equals to 40.5 games.
4 games, come on.
They're on pace to win 40 games-ish.
Well, that'll really test the old theory of the best teams in baseball lose 60 and the worst teams in baseball win 60. It's what you do with the other 100.
Congrats,
Slareth.
What a fan.
Yeah.
More there on you it. Go. All right. Next on the Morning Brew.
Now brought up by Landeskog. Here comes Landeskog for Soderbergh.
The Avalanche will not play until at least Thursday after a third player was placed in their COVID-19 protocols on Friday. So their game against the Kings Friday and yesterday were postponed, as well as the Blues on Tuesday. Do you worry at all? I mean, we talked about this with Grubauer, the idea that he was going to be out for 2 weeks. Good, he gets the rest. You know, he was on a pretty heavy workload. But now in the place of rest, you worry about rust. With this team shutting down for a few days, do you worry about the idea of losing an edge? I mean, they were playing such red-hot hockey. Do you worry about them losing that edge and having enough time to get it back before the playoffs? Do you worry at all?
No, I'm not worried.
I think this team can handle anything that's thrown at them.
I'm with you. I mean, okay, so where are they seeding-wise? Like,
Well, again, the way things are this year, a little bit different. So with the reworked divisions that you're playing in, you have to come out of your division first. So four teams from your division make the playoffs. One plays 4, 2 plays 3, right, and then you come out of the division. Right now, they're number 1. They're tied with Vegas with 64 points. They have 1 game in hand.
Right. But so, Vegas will play some games, and Vegas will probably take over the number 1 seed. Can you get it back?
Can you get it back?
And you get it back, but even if you don't get it back, it's not like it's going to bounce you out of the
playoffs.
There's plenty of time when you get back.
They've clinched the playoffs. I don't worry about the playoffs.
There's plenty of time when you get back to get your groove back. So am I worried about that? They're so talented. No, I'm not. I'm not worried about that, Mike. I'm not. I think this ultimately, sometimes a little rest, sometimes a little recovery, that could be exactly what your legs need.
Might not be. It might. You're right.
It might end up working in their advantage.
Exactly. that's the way I'll choose to look at it as well.
Sure.
Next on the Morning Brew.
This is a democracy, and I understand that democracies can be messy. We can turn on and look at the primaries right now and know that that's true. The men make a decision where everybody is heard and everybody gets an opportunity to vote, and that's all I can ask for.
D'Amar Smith, the boss of the NFLPA, and I don't know if he meant to do this, but thank you for stripping away the charade. This notion that the players were skipping the workouts never felt right to me. This whole bit about, well, we're worried about COVID protocols. Really? I never bought that. I think they were using COVID as an excuse. I thought that was distasteful. Here's the quote that strips that all away. This is from Smith. Quote, we've known for years that this is a voluntary workout where a lot of coaches put their finger on the scale. And while they call it voluntary, they expect players to show up. I think that what you're seeing now is for the first time players exercising their voice, or one of the first times people exercising their voice to say no. And frankly, it's probably one of the few times that coaches have ever heard players say no. And for some players, it's probably the first time they've said no to their coach. But this is a negotiated bargain for voluntary off-season workout. No mention of COVID protocols.
Yes.
So it's never about COVID. This is about the NFL players tired of getting beat over the head constantly by the owners, trying to get some semblance of a win.
Right. And I get how transient the league has become from where guys live, where they train, what they do with their off season. They don't want to be back. They don't want to be. I get it all, Mike. I totally understand it. Come in when it's time to, you know, when we get on the field and we actually start implementing an offense, implementing a defense, start to get to know, you know, each other and the idiosyncrasies of what we're doing. That makes sense. But right now, this voluntary part, I get that. Hey, man, give me another month away. I'm doing the work. And what do I always tell you? Man, if you got a 53-man roster, 49 of them are pros, or 48 of them are pros. They're getting their work done. There's five or six guys who are going to take advantage and not do their stuff. Their careers won't last.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Lance will throw on 3rd and 23. Steps up. He will run. Lance to the 40, to the 35, to the 30. Lance, 20, 15, 10, 5. Try it there, baby. He scores.
Yes.
On 3rd and 23. The Walter Payton Award winner to the house.
Got a text from Jim, said over the weekend I listened to a podcast with Todd McShay and Mel Kiper.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they are saying the whole draft is going to swing on the Broncos and if they will take a QB in the first round. Trey Lance is having his second pro day today. Do you see any possibility of them being in on Lance? For everything that is said about this guy, enormous potential, enormous talent, but raw. You're probably looking at a red shirt year for this guy. Can the Broncos afford to draft that kind of a prospect? Or if they're going to go quarterback, it needs to be somebody that this starving fan base can see relatively quickly?
If you're going to go in that direction, Mike, it would behoove you to have a veteran quarterback on your roster that can actually mentor the young kid. They haven't done that. That hasn't been their thing. So I just, this is just me reading the tea leaves, and I could be completely wrong. Rarely am I ever, because I live on I Told You So Island. So, I mean, we've already established this, but I just don't see any way they're interested in any of these quarterbacks. I just don't think they are. Again, this may be the great bluff job of all bluff jobs. I mean, we may be totally getting shamboozled here.
Shamboozled?
Shamboozled.
Wow, that's a new one.
Yeah. Or we could get bamboozled.
Well, I was going to say bamboozled. Shamboozled is a brand new one.
That's when you get they're running a sham. Plus and, you're bamboozled.
And a bamboozled.
Okay, this is as good a time as any to stop this right now. That'll do it for the morning brew. Wait, bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. What were we talking about?
What were we talking about?
What? What about?
Shamboozled.
Everybody made it. All right. James Marillat joins us next. All right. James Marillat, king of his domain at DenverFan.com, joins us now on the Johnson Autoplata. Let me try that again. Rewind, please. Johnson. The Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Morning, James. How you doing?
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys?
We're doing good, man. Just kind of mixing it up a little bit. And what have you seen? You know, I'll start with you because you're a big Nuggets guy. So what have you seen with, you know, with the Nuggets? Just kind of where are you right now with them losing Murray and how they've responded to that thus far?
Thus far, it's been good. Now, when you get to play Houston in the mix there, that certainly helps. But, you know, I'm trying to look at this optimistically and trying to figure out, well, what, how could this turn into a positive? And sometimes the worst things in life, when you look back, they actually were a good thing. So, like, you know, I was watching the Terrell Davis football life last night, Stink, and you're in that quite a bit. And I was telling my kids the story because they showed the 96 playoff game against the Jaguars. And I remember walking out of the stadium and, like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to this franchise. Shannon Sharp, after the game, said it's going to set him back a decade. Well, in hindsight, it actually kind of turned into the motivation that helped lead to back-to-back Super Bowls. So you never quite know when something is going to be a positive. And the only way this turns into a good thing for the Nuggets is, you know, we've been waiting all year for Michael Porter Jr. to step up and become the number three guy. And he's done that since March 1st. He's been great. Well, now he's got to step up and be the number two guy. He has to play like a star. The good thing is he has that ability. He has that potential. And in the two games since Murray went down without him in the lineup, MPJ has been great. Now, his numbers, it's not like he's putting up 40 points a game, but in the first game he had 25 and, you know, didn't play in the fourth quarter. So that's the one potential upside, is that he's a guy that can step in and fill that role. And then when you're looking for a number three, well, they made that trade for Aaron Gordon, and now he just has to be a bigger part of the offense. So it's not as doom and gloom as I felt, you know, a week or so ago when this all went down. But it's still a big if. I just think they at least have a chance to pull it off.
Yeah, I just like to see Aaron Gordon maybe be a little bit more assertive on offense. You know, he's averaging 10 points per game his last seven games. Just be maybe trying to fit in with everybody, but now with Jamal out, try to go out and maybe be a little bit more aggressive and everyone around him, encourage him to be a little bit more aggressive, scoring the basketball. We thought the Rockies might be in the ballpark of 100 losses. Did we oversell the Rockies' ability to lose just 100?
Boy, it sure feels like it. What are they, 4-12 now? So just
simple
math.
I'm pacing for 40 and 122 right now.
Yeah, that's not good. You know what's shocking about it is their starting pitching's been really good. The ERA just barely above 3. I think it's exactly at 3 at Coors Field. So it's not as though they're not, having a chance and sticking in games. It's just, you know, their offense is just totally non-existent. You know, there's a lot of new faces. Trevor Story and Charlie Blackman have not been good. That hasn't helped. So it's just an anemic lineup when you look at it on paper. And, you know, we all see the tweets every day when the guys who cover the team put up the lineup card and send it out. Every single day, I feel like the grounds crew in Major League. It's just like, who in the heck are these guys? And, you know, there was this hope amongst Rockies apologists that all these guys were going to step up and it was going to be fine. It's not. They have a bad lineup, and it's a bad everyday lineup. And when that's the case, you end up 4-12. And, yeah, they're going to lose 100 games. They're terrible.
James, you know, I feel like in regards to the Broncos, a lot of fans are going to lose their minds if the Broncos don't take the quarterback at 9 or get involved in the quarterback sweepstakes. But it seems as though every single mock draft I look at has them taking linebacker from Penn State, Micah Parsons. Where do you think they are right now? And is this one of the all-time great bluffs by George Payton, or is he kind of more my way of thinking and build a roster around, build a roster before you go looking for your quarterback?
I think he's more your way of thinking. I don't think it's a bluff. I think that's the direction they're going to go. And I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's starting to develop, at least in terms of, the first 11 on offense, the first 11 on defense, a pretty decent roster. The one hole, kind of glaring hole on defense, and it's been that way for 2 or 3 or 4 years. Heck, it's been that way since Super Bowl 50, is middle linebacker. So solving that problem for the next decade, would be fine, given Vic Fangio the piece that he needs, his Roquan Smith, his Navarro Bowman, and having a guy that he can plug in there that can play sideline to sideline. I got no issue with that. And I'm not anti Drew Lock. I think he's shown some ability. So if the plan is, hey, we're going to have this great defense and they've spent the money and built the pieces, and especially if they use a number one pick on a middle linebacker to have what should be a great defense. So the pressure's on Vic Fangio. We're going to have a bunch of young playmakers around you, an offensive line that's back intact with Juwan James added, and we're going to see what the kid can do. I'm fine with that plan. I like that plan better than taking a quarterback just to take a quarterback. If you love one of the guys, right, let's go back to 2018. If you loved Baker or you loved Josh Allen or you love Lamar Jackson, then, yeah, take him. But don't take Josh Rosen. Don't take Sam Darnold. And a couple of these guys are going to be stinkers. You got to avoid them just because you're trying to take a quarterback and appease the fan base. That said, it's why he gets paid the big bucks. You can't pass on Josh Allen again, right? This organization can't make that mistake another time. So if Trey Lance falls, if Justin Fields falls, and they think he's, Josh Allen and not, Josh Rosen, man, you got to pounce. So I don't think it's a bluff. I think they're going defense. I think all the quarterbacks will be gone, and they'll sit tight at number 9. But, man, they can't afford to miss again if one's there.
All right, James. Check out everything James and his crew has going on all week at DenverFan.com. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Thanks a lot.
James Marilat on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Coming up next, I happen to hear one of our fan hosts with a bodacious claim. That as soon as I heard it, I go, I gotta hear what Stink thinks about this. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.